Facebook shares jumped yesterday, but not everyone's happy with Mark Zuckerberg's Capitol Hill testimony. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. As he faces day two in Congress, Mark Zuckerberg might be buoyed by Facebook's rising share price, but he's likely to face more uncomfortable questions like this one from Senator Dick Durbin.
Would you be comfortable sharing with us the name of the hotel you stayed in last night?
No.
If you've messaged anybody this week, would you share with us the names of the people you've messaged?
Senator, no, I would probably not choose to do that publicly here.
I think that may be what this is all about.
Louise Houghton recently deleted her Facebook account after the Cambridge Analytica data breach. She wasn't impressed by Mr. Zuckerberg's appearance.
He knew about this. This was just a PR exercise, and it worked for him. The share price went up again. The share price had plummeted when all this came out because people like me had left and had been worried about their use of data. And the tool they brought out last night so that you could actually look and see what data they have and whether your data had been shared, I can't access that now because I've deleted my data, but I did download everything they had on me, and it was quite shocking to see what they collected over the years, all my contacts from years before I even joined Facebook. So yeah, they have a lot on everyone. I think we're victims, but we're also commodities. We're what they use to sell to achieve their aims. We became the pawns in everything. So yes, we're victims, some of us more knowingly than others, but we've become the commodity.
On May 25th, a new data privacy law comes into effect in Europe and gives users control of their online information. Mr. Zuckerberg recently said he'd extend those protections to all users, but it's still unclear how that would be enforced. Chris Hughes is one of Facebook's co-founders. He left in 2007. He says Facebook and other digital platforms need to make fundamental changes regardless of the law.
One big step would be to be very clear about who owns what data, who has access to that data, when it's being monetized and sold, and the fact that Facebook users can use data portability tools to take it with them. Technically, when you sign up for a new site, you're served all this legalese, and most people just scroll to the bottom and hit accept, not really realizing exactly what they are agreeing to. I mean, we should imagine a different future where companies, when they create these relationships with users, make it much easier for the users to understand what they are agreeing to, and also consistently ask users to engage with that. If users don't trust the platform in the first place, then the idea of it really being able to capture their attention and be of long-term commercial value is under threat. I think that there's another alternative where we see the emergence of other open source or other kinds of not-for-profit models that provide a competitive edge.
Chris Hughes, let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed. Hong Kong's Hang Seng ended up 0.5%, while the major European averages tilt lower. The Russian ruble is seeing its worst week since 1999 as investors worry about the effects of U.S. sanctions. Marriott International says it opens a new hotel roughly every 13 hours. The BBC's Suranjana Tiwari sat down with CEO Arne Sorensen and asked him what the future holds.
I think it's a golden age of travel right now, in part because travelers all around the world are telling us that they value experiences more than stuff. But increasingly, we're seeing growing middle classes around the world, and we're seeing people who say, you know what, I'm more interested in having that extraordinary experience. It's about collecting experiences in a way that's very different from what it was a few years ago.
So what lies ahead for the chain? And how are technology and travel aggregators affecting the business?
I think in some respects, the home sharing platforms are bringing in newer travelers to the market. And that's a good thing if they're introducing new travelers to the market. We have places where we have clear leadership. So you think about our loyalty program as an example. Our .com sites, our apps are among the biggest booking sites on the internet. We are increasingly booking experiences through our partnership with outfits called PlacePass, allows you essentially to book thousands of experiences in connection with your travel.
The United States continues to be Marriott's biggest market, but demand is growing in Asian countries too. That's down to the emerging middle class spending more on travel in general, but also a shift in attitude from customers just wanting facilities to wanting experiences more and more.
India is a growing market, but still relatively small. So when you look across the globe, about 10% of GDP on average is travel related. In India, it's only 6%. China is performing very well. We've got a couple of things happening there which are very positive. One, like India, we see great economic growth, and economic growth drives demand. The second is in China, the government is really pushing towards more consumption. So when Chinese take vacations within China or travel abroad, that's a good thing for us.
Marriott ran into controversy in China earlier this year after it put out an online survey labelling Taiwan and Tibet as separate countries. China pulled down its website for a week as a result. When I asked Mr. Sorensen if the incident raised concerns about expanding in Asia, he told me that the incident was a stumble, but that he's still very optimistic about the future in China and the growth of Marriott hotels there. In Mumbai, I'm the BBC's Suranjana Tiwari for Marketplace.
Finally, cannabis could soon be bigger than soda. Investment bank Cowen says legal marijuana sales could jump to $75 billion by 2030 if it's legalized nationwide. Sodas, not so fizzy anymore. Consumption fell to a three-decade low in 2016. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.